All right, guys, we are back. Another episode, another week. In the Zone is back after a crazy weekend in sports. We talked a little bit about it last week leading up to it. It has come and gone. A lot has happened, whether it's Toronto Maple Leafs, WrestleMania, or even, of course, the big game, the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champions, back-to-back. And also, we also got the NBA All-Star Game around the corner. So we got quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to jump right on in, and we're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the mayhem that ensued after Ridly Greig decided to score a full-blown slap shot on an empty net with 5 seconds left to go. And, of course, Morgan Rielly finally, I guess you could say it's the straw that broke the camel's back, and he took care of business. So we're going to jump in with that. Chris, what do you think? What does this mean for the Leafs? He has since been suspended. I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about that, and we're going to go right on in.
Yeah, so Nick basically, you know, said most of it, but, you know, I just want to quickly talk more about the situation. I mean, there was like 5 seconds left. Breakaway, rookie player just skating down the ice, and, like, it wasn't like he was gliding down. Like, he was skating full speed, clap bomb into an empty net. And of course, I thought it was the perfect time for a guy like Rielly to be on the ice. Because if there was anyone else on the ice, nothing's probably happening. Rielly, you know, finally is like, you know what? I've been one of the leaders of this team the last like 6 years. I'm finally going to do something. Cross checks him in the shoulder. It goes up to his head. And of course, he's probably going to get suspended here, but I do think it was appropriate just looking at the code of conduct in the NHL. Just again, it's the respect factor. It's kind of like in the NBA, Alino, when you're up by 10 points and let's say you get a steal, you don't go down and you slam dunk the freaking basketball. You're going to get pushed to the ground. Same thing here. But I want to read to you guys what the NHL player safety said. They said, in short, this is not a hockey play. This is an intentional, forceful strike to an opponent's head using a stick as a weapon to exact retribution on an opponent while after a goal is scored. Now, I get that. That's obviously what happened. But, Alino, do you agree with Morgan Rielly's actions? Because it seems like what we've seen in the last couple of days, Sheldon Keefe, John Tavares, Matthews, and even maybe Claude Giroux have agreed with Rielly's actions.
I agree with Rielly's actions. I like it. I think it was a good veteran move. Like, I don't know why he's slap-shotting it on an empty net. He could have even missed, which would have been embarrassing if he missed the net.
That would have been great.
A veteran coming in and doing that, I don't have a problem with it. I think 5 games is a little harsh. Like, you look back at some of the nasty ones, like using your stick as a weapon, like Chris Simon, what he did the whole week all those years ago. Fuck. That's a cross-check to the face. So what Rielly did, I thought it was inappropriate. It could have been a lot worse. Like if Ryan Reeves was on the ice and let's say he went headhunting, that avoided a situation. So I think it was a learning experience for this rookie. And I don't think he'll do it again. If he sees someone else, like this is Rielly who doesn't have a history of getting suspended. He's going to know now that's what someone who's never been suspended is going to do. So just imagine if he's on the ice with a lunatic who has no other option, probably going to go down the minors. They're going to take his career away with them. So I think it's a learning experience.
Yeah, no, I have absolutely no problems with what he did. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you played hockey, no matter the level, there's the unwritten rules of any, like every sport, even amongst buddies, there's unwritten rules. And he broke a fucking unwritten rule. I'm sorry. Like, and if there's one thing I think that this incident really highlighted is the real divide and the lack of understanding that casuals have with the game of hockey and the people that played it and the people that are real fans, or even if depending on the era that you started watching. Because if you really think about it, like you alluded to, Alino, Ridly Greig got off fucking easy. Rielly went to, he saw Rielly was coming at him, and not for nothing, he goes to put his arm up, which anyone would in order to protect themselves, and the stick kind of just rides up the shoulder and hits him like in the ear muff where his helmet would be. But then he just flopped and turtled like a fish and just stayed on the ice, and everyone left him alone. And then a little bit of mayhem ensued. But yeah, like, you know, I think it's harmless. I mean, okay, it's not harmless, but there's accountability, especially in the game of hockey or in professional sports as a whole. And I think it's about time that some of the players take back that accountability and govern themselves how they need to be. Of course, you don't want to see anyone get seriously hurt, but something like that's needed. And a lot of people feel like Morgan Riley has deserved to be the captain for a while on the Leafs. And actions like that prove, I think, to not just his teammates, but even the fan base, that this guy's the fucking real deal. It's a good thing that we signed him for as long as we have, and hopefully he'll be a Leaf forever, but he deserves the captaincy.
Yeah, I like how he went about it too. I don't know how vocal he was after when the incident happened. I don't think he really was. I don't think they really interviewed him, but I just like the way that Matthews, Tavares, like they kind of responded. I know Marner, I don't think, was interviewed about it, but you know what Matthews said, like this kind of screams, he says somebody was going to do it. So whether it was Ryan, like let's say it was Ryan Reeves, probably would have been, like Alino said, a lot worse. Probably would have been a sucker punch to the head. Probably like a full-on freaking bench brawl. Like, you don't know. But with Riley, he's just so respected in this game. You know, he's been in the league for 11 years, which is that's a long time. He's never been suspended. And man, now he has to lose out on like $100,000 because of this suspension, which fucking sucks for him. But, you know, he has option to appeal the suspension, which I don't blame him. Just looking at all the quotes that we have here, I'll read you the quote that Claude Giroux said. He said, "The emotion sometimes will get to you. I obviously don't like to see him getting in the face there, but there's not much really to say. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens." So Claude Giroux's been in the league for, I think it's been about 17 years now. It's been a long time. 06 he got drafted. He's seen it all. He's been a part of those vintage Penguins Flyers feuds. If there's one guy that knows everything about situations like this, it's Claude Giroux, and the fact that he didn't really defend Greg shows that he knows he was in the wrong. So I think now with Riley appealing this suspension, do you guys see potentially Bettman turning it back and saying, okay, you're a first-time offender, maybe 3 games, or do you think he stays pat at 5?
I think he should. Like, if you're Bettman and you look at the pattern here, like, I'm like, okay, Peros, the thing there, like, is he too harsh on the Leafs? After this, it's kind of hard to say that he's not harsh against the Leafs all the time. Like, Morgan Riley, like, that's a 5-game suspension. So I think Bettman will probably meet with them and say maybe 2 games. And if you do it again, you're getting 10. Like, something stupid will be even worse. So I think they'll reduce it.
Well, me personally, Chris and I, we watched the game live. We went out, we had a couple of drinks, we watched the game at a bar, and as soon as we saw it happen, like the goal and the way, I was like, someone's gonna go over there and fill him in, and lo and behold, it happened. And you know, honestly, what I think should have happened in the event of Riley has been suspended. They said it's 5 games, but with him appealing, my initial reaction from seeing that, and knowing where the league has been trying to go the past few years in terms of cross-checking, head contact, and everything else, I said to Chris, you give him 2 games and fine him $5,000. I think that's more than fair. He has a clean slate. He hasn't done anything over 10 years in the league. You know, I think another crazy thing I saw today, actually, since people have been talking about him appealing it online and everything, two clips. It was obviously the Riley incident, but then people were showing the Sam Bennett and Michael Bunting in front of the net last year in the playoffs, and Bennett like violently is cross-checking living crap out of Bunting, and he only got $5,000.
I vividly remember that.
He only got $5,000. Like, you know, even when Bunting got suspended for all the diving and all those infractions, like, you know, it's fucking harsh. Like, no one else has gotten some crazy suspensions like this for having a clean slate. And I will say that the Giroux quote, it's one of those things where the guy's been in the league long enough, he knows the code, he understands what happened. And dude, he played on some of the toughest Flyers teams that they weren't great teams. They
Scott
were
Scott Hartnell. That guy knows a thing or two.
Wayne Simmons, like, they had Torts as their coach. They went to the Stanley Cup final. They lost. Like, those were hard-nosed, work your ass off and still get the job done teams. So they knew everything about the code, respecting accountability and working hard. So I think this just comes down to a young kid not having any idea and trying to just seize a moment for himself and try to maybe ignite the rivalry again and just being a little selfish. But ultimately, he looks like an idiot. Like, the way Giroux looked on the bench after it happened, even when they panned to Michel Therrien, they're just looking on like, then they look at the replay and they're like, fuck, this kid really did that? Like, depending, if Torch is your coach and you do that,
he's probably sitting next game.
You're either getting scratched, or he might just say, look, buddy, you got to sit 2 games or I'm sending you down, and then you got to have to wait to come back up, because that's classless. It really is. Like,
It's brutal. The thing with the league too that I'm starting to realize is I know the league is trying to become more, you know, rainbows and sunshine and no hitting and all that, but this is a perfect example of these young guys, man. Some of them just don't understand. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm a big hockey fan, but I didn't go back and watch old footage. Like the league's not going to go back to that point. It's like, yeah, but everybody has consequences. If you're going to do something stupid, even in a league that, yeah, there's what, fighting what, every once every week, maybe one fight a week if we're lucky, you're going to get your ass kicked if you fucking slap it into an empty net like that. So I really hoped he missed that shot. I hope he fucking pulled a Patrick Steffen and just fumbled it and we came down and scored the other way. But it is what it is, man. I do agree, though. I remember looking back at that Rasmus Dahlin Austin Matthews incident at the Centennial Classic. Oof. And I'm like, you know what, maybe that'll ignite the feud here between Buffalo and Toronto. And thankfully for Leaf fans, Buffalo is still kind of in mediocrity. They're still kind of not a playoff team, but you know, you're looking at Ottawa, looking at who they have on their team and the Brady Tkachuks of the world and Tim Stützle's and the Batthersons and all these guys that are really good. You would expect now that this rivalry is starting to ramp up. And with this incident, I think next time they play each other, I don't know when it is on the schedule, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a fight between like a Ryan Reeves and a Brady Tkachuk or a Domi or somebody that's going to go out there and send a message. So the message was sent. I do agree with Morgan Riley. If there was anybody on this team that was probably most appropriate to do something like this, it is Morgan Riley. Max Domi has a history. Reeves has a history.
Jake McCabe's even a good shout for a guy that, or even if Mark Giordano was on the ice, he would have done something about that too. The problem thing is with everything that happened is, and you heard it in the media all weekend, and even this week as well. You know, if the Leafs don't do anything, they get ripped on because they got no balls, they got no heart, and then one of the most ultimate Leafs that we've had in recent memory has the balls and shows some heart, and it's like, this guy needs to get out of the league. What's he doing? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, post game when they asked Kevin Bieksa, because they did the whole panel, and everyone's like, yeah, I don't know, this is going to be pretty harsh. Kevin Bieksa's like, are you kidding me? The guy hasn't had one infraction. The guys need to govern themselves accordingly and have accountability. I think, and at first Bieksa's like, I don't think he's going to get suspended. And then when everyone's like, oh, he's getting 5 games. Oh, he might get 10. He might get 5. X is like, okay, well, for the sake of what you guys are saying, I'm going to say 2. Mind you, I played however many seasons in the league. It's changed a bit, but it's ridiculous because at least with the accountability, you can protect some of your stars from actually getting hurt. That's one thing that a lot of people like to forget. Like, New Jersey's had to deal with it with Hughes all year. He's been going in and getting his head absolutely knocked off and he gets hurt. So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And it's always been the same thing with the league trying to become more skilled, faster. Hockey's a physical game. It doesn't matter what level of hockey you're playing. You can be in the NHL. You can be fucking in beer league Monday night. You're going to, you know, bump into guys, high sticks, slashes, all of it. And guys have to be accountable, whether you're a pro or you're playing minor hockey or anywhere in between. So I think ultimately it's some baby shit, but it is what it is.
So Alina, what does this incident do for this rivalry? Do we go back to Alfredson Sundin days or will we never go back to that?
I think Ottawa's going to need to win a lot of games.
Yeah, they're still not the gap in.
Because I think they have bigger issues because they should be a playoff team by now.
Oh, 100%.
A consistent playoff team. Like, even Buffalo, like, when everyone wants to see that rivalry come back, they need to be a consistent playoff team. Like, at what point is a rebuild over with this team?
You're not wrong.
I mean, yeah, you're right. They got Tkachuk, Stützle, and then you go to fucking Buffalo. They got Powell. They had 2 first overall picks back-to-back years. And
Tarasenko signed us a 1-year deal. Ottawa.
I know.
What are they doing?
And he might get dealt at the deadline, I think too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, at what point do you kind of look at management? It's like, it's been like 7 years now. Like, Dallas did it in 2. what's going on here? So, I mean, they definitely have some questions, and I'll say this to the day. Like, until the Sens make the playoffs, that Mark Stone trade is one of the worst of all time for that franchise. Yeah, I swear to God, it's one of the worst.
Well, okay. Yeah, that was a horrible trade, but what do you guys think this means now? Say Riley does get 5 games, because technically, whether it's 5 games or he goes to appeal, he can't play until he has his appeal or until he serves these games. So, I mean, the roster is going to be a little different. I mean, Tavares and Marner didn't play last night either, with also Morgan Riley. They won. But how's this going to shape the lineup going forward?
I think we're going to see what we saw last night. Now, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, it's their show. More attention on them. They get the puck a lot more. And then team wins. So I think they're going to just continue this. It's probably going to be for the best, maybe. Build their confidence up. Then the other guys come back. They slot in. But it's really weird how, like, you can miss two players like that are important. And just like nothing. It's like, okay, now the other guys are just going to be grinders. And these guys are going to be the stars. And we're going to win.
Yeah, I think there was a very simple game plan last night. And that was just don't overthink like your roster, don't overthink plays. This is a St. Louis team that's hungry. It's their first game back. You kind of don't know what to expect with the Blues. Robert Thomas is an absolute animal. Kyrou's an animal. They got Torey Krug still has a clapper. Like, that guy is still a really good defenseman. But yeah, the Leafs came in last night. You know, Bobby McMahon, shout out to him, first career hat trick. He did not look phased. I thought Tyler Bertuzzi had a pretty good game last night too. Not going to lie. You're not going to hear me say that often.
No.
But I got to give all the credit last night to guys like Jake McCabe, Simon Benoit. Benoit's been a diamond in the rough.
We got to sign him again.
He's literally been what Luke Shen was last year, and he's wearing the same number. It's freaking hilarious.
It's crazy.
It's effortless. It was like an effortless transition, like exactly with when we got rid of Freddie, we get Jack Campbell. It's like, oh, he's actually good.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. It's a great transition. So I think right now this Leaf team, they got some pressure because you're missing your best D. Tavares and Marner were missing last game. But I think right now the guy that has the most pressure, whether it's trade deadline rumors, being in the lineup, it's Nick Robertson. I think this is a guy where you need to put him in the top six. Kyle Yarncroke and David Kampf have been rumored to be cap dumps come this deadline. I've never been the biggest Yarncroke fan, but I still think Kampf has a role on this team. I don't think Keith likes this guy genuinely. And if there's one guy that you have to really start playing now to get that value back up, it's Nick Robertson.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Congratulations to Bobby McMahon. I saw today, I believe he's the 123rd Toronto Maple Leaf to have a hat trick. So that's a pretty crazy milestone.
You would think there's more players with how long the Leafs have been a franchise.
I know. It's crazy. But it's awesome to see that a guy, though, that was, whether he was drafted or picked up in a trade, that he's kind of made his way and become a part of this team. It's nice to actually see. And I think that's another problem the Leafs kind of have to figure out, whether it's drafting or even acquiring guys in these AHL or minor league deals, is that how much time are you going to give these guys? Because how often do we see, I mean, we've been spoiled with the core, between Matthews, Nylander, Riley, and Matthews, drafting those guys and having them be superstars. And then, everyone else that we've kind of drafted, whether it's been in the same year or even a couple of years later, they just fall by the wayside and they don't give them the time. So hopefully Robertson is able to, if he does get traded, we can get something in return. And he can land on his feet and get a fresh start. But hopefully he doesn't turn into like a Mason Marchman or even like a Carter Verhaeghe, because at that point it's one of those things where it's like, when are the Leafs going to fucking learn? And I hope David Kampf doesn't get traded, because he's probably our second best penalty killer that we have on this team. And, depth centerman when it comes to the playoffs and penalty killing is something that the Leafs desperately need if they're going to want to make a run. So, but yeah. Everything looks great so far with the suspension, how they've been playing. It's been one game, but you know what? They're really fighting, and they're playing a better team game. So fingers crossed that they can continue to do that no matter how long those three guys are out. And hopefully that this is something that the league won't decide to just keep penalizing guys that have clean records, because hockey needs to be a tough sport. It can be flashy, flash in the pan as well, but the guys need to be accountable, and you can't just punish the guy for holding a guy accountable. So now we're going to touch upon the big game, Super Bowl 58, this past weekend. Now, if you guys listened to the last episode, I unfortunately was wrong. I got a few things right. McCaffrey was the first TD. I did say that the Niners would probably lead halfway through the game. Unfortunately, they lost. Taylor Swift, we saw a bunch of times on TV, a bunch of bullshit too.
Chugged a beer.
That was like half a beer. It wasn't a full beer, but the stars were out at the game. It wasn't the greatest game to watch, I will say. The first time in 20 years a team has repeated. The last team to do it was Tom Brady and the Patriots. I guess I got to ask the question, because everyone's probably been talking about it all week. I mean, they have been. Can Patrick Mahomes beat or be the next Tom Brady?
I would say after watching that and seeing the influence they have, I'm going to say yes for now, just to be positive on this current era. And I don't know, maybe like at 28 years old, he's still coming into his physical prime. So Tom Brady retired in his mid-40s. If he can win one in the next 2 years and then have two in the next eight, let's say, I think he could close that gap. I don't say he's better than him because we saw how that went, but I will be open to that discussion.
Yeah, you have to be open now. I think, you know, he has three Super Bowls, three MVPs already, and two regular season MVPs. That's eight trophies at 28 years old. I mean, you know, when they traded Tyreek Hill, a lot of guys thought, yeah, this team might not really do it anymore. And what happens? He adapts. He gets a better defense around him. His weapons are not impressive at all, but man, he just gets the job done. Late in games is when Mahomes is most dangerous. And we saw at the Super Bowl, for some reason, the 49ers elected to start overtime with the ball, which I thought was just an absolute disaster for them. And I knew from the start, that's a problem to have Patrick Mahomes have the ball last in overtime, take his time. And
last in regulation, he had the ball.
Damn. And they tied it. They had the field goal to end it, go to overtime. And of course, he gets the winning touchdown. I got to give Brock Purdy a lot of credit. This was a guy where I thought he would crumble under the bright lights, kind of like what we saw Matt Ryan do against Tom Brady, going up big and then blowing it there. But I think Purdy was very, very conservative with his game, and that's not a bad thing. He threw it to the right guys for most of the game. I think the reason I'll say San Fran wasn't as successful as I thought was George Kittle, man. He was not involved. He was more blocking. He's been doing that role more this year. What's his name?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Juszczyk was the guy that was getting more targets. Debo didn't have that good a game either, so if it wasn't for McCaffrey, man, honestly, I think this might have been a 17-point win for KC. So KC had the more all-around better performance, I thought. The defense was better. And, of course, again, it comes down to the quarterback, and Mahomes is the better one.
I will say, you know, the way Mahomes played the game, here's my take on this. Brock Purdy had actually a very good game. I wouldn't say he was smart in how he protected the ball. He wasn't reckless with the ball. The only times that you could even say he made a mistake was when he was really under pressure and instead of him taking a sack, he threw the ball away out of bounds or into an area of the field where he thought somebody would be and they weren't there. For a guy that's in his first Super Bowl ever, last pick of the draft in the NFL, no one thought he'd be even playing in the NFL. I think he had a great game. He was efficient. He tried everything that he could to get the job done. McCaffrey had a monster game. They couldn't ask him to do more. You know, if he could have been their quarterback and ran as well for another 100 yards, he would have if he needed to, but you know, you can't rely on him to do every fucking thing. But I think one thing that definitely sticks out in my mind when you look at that offense for San Fran, it's that age-old topic of debate where, you know, old football fans will say, yeah, offense is important, but you know, defense wins you championships. And honestly, Mahomes put on Superman's cape and he did what he had to do in overtime and at the end of the game to get them where they needed to be and ultimately win. But if their defense didn't show up the way they did, they probably would have gone blown out. Like, blown out. The game for the most part was a snooze fest. Like, you know, there was the fumbles, the turnovers that were
hitting. Yeah, that threw me off, like, early. Both running backs first quarter fumble. I'm like, all right, that's a little uncharacteristic,
little suspicious.
Even the
a little nervous. It's all good.
Even the punt hitting the teammate's foot, and then he had to scramble. Like, that changed the game. And then another thing, it's like if San Fran's field goal doesn't get blocked, they probably go and win that game, right? So there are a lot of things. I mean, is it fair to consider them a dynasty? Me personally, you have to.
Yeah,
you do. But when you actually look at that team, not for nothing, they're not the greatest team, but they just have the greatest quarterback in the league. I mean, it is what it is. That's the NFL for you. But man, I don't think he's going to, I don't see him beating Tom Brady. Let me elaborate on that, because people are like, what do you mean he's so much younger? He has so much more time. His teams aren't going to get better offensively. For the amount of money he's getting paid, unless they kick that money all the way down for another 10 years, it's not going to happen. So what's going to happen? Everyone's going to get better around him. Hopefully his weapons can be more efficient. He can be better with them catching the ball, not have Kadarius Toney on your team dropping passes. But I think it's going to be a lot like Tom Brady's your Michael Jordan, and I could see Patrick Mahomes in a lot of ways being like the Kobe Bryant. He'll get close, but he won't catch him. He'll get like the five or the six, and he'll just fall short.
I mean, the scary thing with Mahomes is you look at the last two Super Bowl wins, he hasn't had a star wide receiver. I mean, Kelce is not a wide receiver. He's a tight end.
Tyreek Hill, though, like, that guy's a star.
That was when he won against Jimmy G. That was the first year. But was when Mahomes was 23 years old.
Still a star receiver, though. You can't take that away from Tyreek Hill.
No, I know, but I'm saying the last two, he has not had a star receiver, and he's won the Super Bowl. They had no business beating Philly last year. The team Philly had, no business beating them. And, of course, again, Philly was winning, and Mahomes, every time he's down 10, it's like it's a fucking write-off for the other team. Okay, I'm going to put on my cape. You guys are all going to be my bitches, and I'm going to win the game. That's always how... Ask Josh Allen. Ask him how that feels.
But that's going to bite them in the... Like, whenever that time comes, like... And I know we could all agree with this, because that's how it just is in sports. That's going to bite them in the ass at one point. We all know there's aspects of the NFL where things can be a little fishy and things can go a certain way. But after a period of time, that's going to bite them in the ass. And here's another question. Alino, you can answer this first. Do you guys see the Kansas City Chiefs making history again and being the only team in NFL history to three-peat?
I think, you know what? Again, as long as this Taylor Swift relationship is going on, the story next year. Like, I think I was telling you guys that when we finished recording last week, if they lost and she broke up with them, of next year would have been Travis Kelce needs to go back to the Super Bowl to win back Taylor Swift. He got the Super Bowl with her, lovey-dovey. Next year, I think they're going to push the narrative, and the script's going to say Travis Kelce wins the Super Bowl, proposes Taylor Swift. Whether she says yes or no, that's up to her, but I think that's a script for next year.
Chris, what do you think?
I think the Cincinnati Bengals have something to say about that. Joe Burrow redemption era is coming. I love Patrick Mahomes. There's only two quarterbacks that have beat Mahomes in the playoffs. Tom, old Grandpa Brady, and Joe Cool Burrow. And Joe Burrow is my guy. Nick is just looking at the ceiling saying, what an idiot. But if there's one thing that we know about Joe Burrow, is that he has as much ice in his veins as a guy like Patrick Mahomes. So he's not fazed by almost anything. If they can somehow manage to re-sign Higgins, try and bring up maybe or sign another running back, Cincinnati is right back in the thick of things. And you might be saying I'm foolish by saying that because our division is stacked. But the narrative this whole year, Alino, was the AFC was wide open. And for the longest time, and even this whole playoffs, KC was not expected to win. So I think that's the same narrative next year. And I think KC is stopped next year.
I mean, if they win again, it's no. I'm gonna.
He might go down as the GOAT if they three.
No. I'm gonna put my tinfoil hat on. if we're recording, obviously you guys wouldn't see that I have one, but I would. I'm gonna make one just for when I have these hot takes. It will be solely because of Taylor fucking Swift. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. Not taking that away from him. I am not. But there's only one way that they'll make them win again is because of the amount of money that fucking bitch is gonna make this league. I'm sorry. Why do you need to see her on TV 10 to 15 times during the game when the game is on, the biggest game of the year? Like, you know, and then, you know, Alino, how you said, you know, Travis Kelce got to finish the story, right?